One of the things that I really enjoy about our Missions Emphasis Sundays is the chance for you all to hear from people who are doing exciting things, through whom God is working and doing amazing things both nearby and far away. This morning, we're excited that Gene Allert is with us. Some of us know Gene. Some of us have been going up to work at the Samaritan Women in Baltimore since 2009. I was going to ask Andy Rowan, and he's, but I, of course they're in England, except that they're here this morning. So yay, we're excited the Rowans are here, and Andy was instrumental in helping our church get involved in this ministry, and just this January, we as a missions committee decided to formally partner more formally. In a more detailed kind of way with the Samaritan Women, and make them a part of our outreach and missions efforts of our church. So we're so excited that Jean is with us. There's a bio of her on page 9 there, and she's going to share with us about the work of the Samaritan Women in Baltimore. So welcome, Jean.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. What a radiant day. I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, not so much to talk about the Samaritan Women, but really to boast in the work that the Lord is doing at this place. Just by brief introduction about what it is that we do at this unique organization. It's a ministry that was started in 2007 when the Lord gifted us with a 23-acre estate in southwest Baltimore and simultaneously broke our hearts for an issue that none of us would have ever imagined would have been a part of our lives, specifically the issue of domestic human trafficking. So it's taken us 4 years, and I'm happy to say with the relentless support of volunteers, such as those who have come from Grace, to renovate the building and the property and to establish what is now Baltimore's largest farm. And we, in 2011, were able to open our home to serve the first survivor. Since that time, we have ministered to 24 women who have been ravaged for years under the oppression of modern-day slavery. Some have been labor trafficked, but most have been exploited through commercial sexual exploitation. Our program specifically serves adult females from across the United States. We get referrals now. We're up to 9 different states have sent us women, largely because there's such a dearth of care facilities within this country for this population. It's our understanding that we're the only long-term Christian residents in the entire Mid-Atlantic region. And that's really tragic because right now the Department of Justice estimates that there are about 300,000 American children who are slaves in this country, and an untold number of adults. And the Baltimore-Washington International Airport District in Anne Arundel County is regarded as the third most lucrative destination in the United States for sex trafficking. And so we're really an epicenter, those of us on the I-95 corridor who are close to these areas of affluence or who live in areas of affluence, because you need to understand that particularly for that manifestation of the crime, it isn't something that's an urban problem. It's a very, very mobile crime that follows the money. And so wherever that is to be had and wherever that is a demand, that's where we're going to see it. So it's really a dark picture. The United States, as a federal government's only been looking at this issue for about 3 to 4 years. And it seems like it's getting worse as we learn more about how prevalent and insidious this real evil business is. Right now, there seems to be this frenzy in people going, okay, I now understand how bad it is, but what are we going to do? Like, where's the solution? Where's the answer? Because, you know, America too often just wants a pill, you know, to fix it. And even in communities like Davidsonville, you know, you learn things and then you quickly want to know, how's it going to be solved? So people are always asking us, how do you know that you're successful? How do you know? What are your outcome metrics? Which is a lovely thing to say for a ministry. They meant Jesus. But anyway, the feds don't get it, but that's okay. I'm fine with that. But I'll tell you honestly, we've really wrestled with this problem because there aren't any national metrics to say, well, here's what a healed person looked like, because those of us in the church, frankly, know that every one of us is broken. So what does a healed person look like? Well, none of us, right? That's for sure. And we only really have secular answers to the problem. So we say things, well, if she has a job, she must be okay. Or if she has housing, she must be okay. Or if she's going to school, everything must be fine. But what we don't understand is that the problem that is really the seminal issue, the core wounding, are traumas that these ladies cannot fix on the outside, and they can't fix outside of community in the isolation of this trauma. They have to have it fixed by living in community and living in Christ. And many of our women have suffered horrendous childhood abuse. They have absent or abusive parents. They've gone through all kinds of, I'll be very kind with my words, horrible things that some are of their making and some have been imposed upon them. But the relentless violence, the neglect, the humiliation of being sold as a slave, and not the least of which is being passed over by us on the street. Because we walk by and we say, that's somebody that's one of them that we don't want to associate with. And that's a hurt that we have to repair. The only healing that is ever going to be realized for these women in their wounds is Christ. So I'm here to boast that God's promise is true, that the years the locusts have eaten can truly be restored, which is why we call ours a restoration program. And the success is really much more important metrics like this. We see women who, after years and years of exploitation and abuse, begin to trust again. They begin to have friends again. They begin to have a voice, and they express it without fear. Some of our women now are singing for the first time in their lives because they've been so silenced. They write poetry and do art. Some have even testified on anti-trafficking bills in the Senate. They find joy in giving to others. When people all their lives have taken from them, they realize the sheer joy of being able to give out of what seems like their poverty. They delight in very simple pleasures like nature, and those of you who've been to our place know what that looks like. And then they're opening their hearts up to Jesus, and I'm pleased to report that this year we've already had 2 baptisms. Very exciting. So, not that we're counting those, but it is way cool. So we're really very grateful for the support that Grace EP has given us over the years, and you continue to stand with us. But I'm going to ask you to increase your efforts, because God has asked us to increase our efforts. God has now gifted us with a philanthropist in Hartford County who is giving us another property and asking us to establish another home. And there is a church in Kentucky who has now asked us to expand nationally. So I'm terrified. But I want to be obedient to this and follow the provision. So I'm asking these things of you. Continue to be educated on this issue. Understand that it's a domestic problem as well as an international problem. Be as educated as you can so that you might be used as an instrument of God to identify somebody who's out there who is being victimized. And then be a community that can be honest with each other. Be a community that will recognize that we all have wounds, and unfortunately, we all have secrets. Just a month ago, we buried a 19-year-old girl who was exploited for 5 years, and her father's a pastor. And she comes from a very nice home, and it was just a family secret that nobody talked about. And so we have to be mindful of the fact that some of the wounding is happening right here in our church as well. Not only those who are being victimized, but those who are victimizers. And we need to increase in our prayers and our support, because as God asks us to do more, that means the ripple effect is we all have to do more. So with that challenge, I will thank you again for letting me be here today and ask that you would do more. Thank you.
Yes, and your power in this world. And we say these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated.